Good evening. Good evening. How are you doing out there in podcast land? Welcome to Living Light, Dark to Dawn, Rock Solid, the place where you come to expand your thinking and elevate your way of being. My name is Dawn Schell, certified life coach and soul healer. How are you doing there today? Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hello to Mr. David and Kathy. Welcome back to the live studio. I'm happy you guys are here. That's awesome. I'm so glad you guys are here. I appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to both of you. A couple other people will be trickling in. And so this is going to be an awesome, man, that thing just went right up my vortex or chakra, whatever we call that. Just as I was about to say, this is going to be a good one. I have worked with people in this. I mentor people in this, believe it or not. But I have never taught on this or talked about it. And this is a special one geared especially towards empaths, HSPs, highly sensitive people, seers, prophetics, if we can use that word and include that, you know, intuitives and the like. And I'm going to really break this down. And I felt like it's just necessary. And it's probably not going to be for everybody. And that's okay. As in, not everybody will completely understand this. And that's part of my objective and motive here for talking about this. But so before I start getting into that, because I can't wait to get into it, a couple of shout outs to Ms. Margie, my Jersey girl. Miss you, my dear. We will see each other soon. And Ms. Bett, who is in Wisconsin, a very dear friend who's been a loyal listener to the podcast for a very long time now. Welcome to December 21st. Happy winter solstice. That's part of the reason why I'm talking about this, the return of light, the gradual return of light. Isn't that just wonderful? It's been dark in so many ways, metaphorically, you know, just in the space and the atmosphere is just getting, you know, we've had shorter days. Today is officially the shortest day of the year. And as we progress and move forward into the new year, usually by the second week of January, you could tell that it doesn't get dark until 5 o'clock, you know, or now here, at least where I am, it's dark around 4:30, 20 to 5. So, hey, Dave and Carrie Berry. Carrie Berry's here, Scooter Bean, a.k.a. Dave, or Dave, a.k.a. Scooter Bean. Welcome, everybody, to this live studio. Happy winter solstice, December 21st. 12/21, or for Rush fans, 21/12. That's a little Rush fan joke. And it's going around. It does. It actually goes around like hardcore Rush fans. They're a rock band. Quick shout out to and promotion of David Medansky, author of Breaking the Chains of Dieting, Stop Dieting, Start Thinning, and now Jaded Health. It's going to be released. And he is the gentleman that I had the honor of being on his television program in Dallas, which is just in a couple of short weeks on January 18th is going to be the premiere. I am so excited. I cannot wait for this. And personally, it does make sense also, if I can, you know, include that in this topic, that's precisely why I've been encountering some things, because this is a big deal. And what is coming out. And it's not because I'm such a big deal, but my heart's desire and my message to the world, for humanity, my piece of that pie. And I heard when I came back from Dallas that the rest of the year is going to be pretty interesting. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this interesting. And I'm just using the word interesting for now. But so anyway, oh, he can't see his chat. He can't use his. Oh, okay. Merry Christmas. Thank you for letting me know that. David cannot use his chat. Okay. I wonder why that is. Well, thank you. And Merry Christmas to everybody here. I hope everybody is doing well. I really do. And it was cold here. Sunny today. Big sun, but cold. You know, just 40s. Nothing crazy. I don't complain about cold until it goes under 30 degrees. If it goes below 30, then you're going to hear me talking about how frigid it is. But I really just wore a vest with a sweater and my Uggs boots today to go out shopping. You know, I'm really just okay with that. My body has its own way of keeping itself warm. So, you know, in and out of the car, it's not a big deal. Bella Forever, welcome to the live studio. I hope you hang around. I don't remember you being here, but welcome back if you're returning, and do avail yourself to previous episodes. Also, feel free to subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is also Living Light, Dark to Dawn, Rock Solid on YouTube. I have gone back and forth, and I appreciate you guys being patient and rolling with the changes. I really tried YouTube for several episodes. I don't know, six or seven. I really don't know. And I just feel, I feel way more comfortable here. I may return back to YouTube. I'm going to see how that goes. But for now, I just concentrate so much better here. Like, because right now I'm talking, my head's down, my hair is up, I have a flannel shirt on. And I'm looking down, like I'm just looking down at the table. And I just have a way of looking around and thinking, and I'm not one to stare into a television or into a phone or, you know, into a lens. I'm just not fond of it. It's distracting. So this works for me better. I feel like I'm in my groove again. And even though I was advised of people in Dallas by the television studio to go on YouTube, but I'm going to be talking with them at some point. There's going to be a Zoom meeting. And with this, I was talking about David Medanski, the Jaded Health and the Dallas show that's going to be premiering on January 18th. So getting back to that, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast out of the premiere. There's going to be a Zoom going, a live Zoom with David and his guests. And then it's going to be streaming at the same time. And it's going to be on Hulu. He told me all of it today, and he's going to send it to me again. Is it Roku? Apple TV. There's several platforms this thing is going to be streaming, and it's going to be there, and you can watch it whenever you want. So it's very exciting. I put my heart and soul into this like you have no idea, and the whole trip was just one huge confirmation after the next. So do check David Medanski out. He's an amazing just human being, father, husband, the whole entire ball of wax. And if you're looking for total health and wellness, not just looking good, but just everything that it takes to feel good, to look better, to feel healthy, he's definitely your guy. Look him up in all the social medias, and I'm always talking about him anyway. So if you're looking for information, do avail yourself to him. He's just he's a dear friend and a wonderful human being. So that being said, so we covered the weather. Coming to you from Hunterdon County, New Jersey, as always. And so that's my locale. Moving right along. I can't wait to get into this. So the title is Winter Solstice, Empathy and Workers of Light. And winter solstice is today. It's been today. And I have not studied it in depth. Some people might understand it more than I do. But the winter solstice, you know, is, and people actually celebrate it as a holiday. You know, I've never really done that with winter solstice. I acknowledge it. I respect all these different things that people celebrate it. As long as it's light oriented, pure white light oriented, I'm on board. Frank Bienick is in the house. Hey, Frank.
Hello to everybody.
So I don't have a lot of background about winter solstice, like in depth, but you know, the basic stuff is that it is the celebration of light and the celebration of the return to light, and how, you know, the days when winter comes and falls coming to a close and we're moving into winter, the days get shorter and it's dark and it's cold. And you know, it's always a time for reflection, at least for me. If you live in a cold climate, now people in South Africa, it's actually their summer solstice, and also Australia, like it's summer. And I spent one Christmas in Australia. It was very odd being on the beach, and people were wearing Santa hats and Santa bikinis and Santa, you know, swimming shorts, the guys and stuff. And it was so weird to get a sense of Christmas in the heat, you know, in the summertime. But in the northern hemisphere, it's winter solstice and it's the winter season, and you just sort of, there's not so much to do outside unless your winter sports. I used to ski. I stopped skiing a long time ago because I was freezing cold, and it was along the time when snowboarding came on the scene, and it was just a big mess, of which I talked to my friend who's going to be up here for Christmas. He lives in Georgia. He's a great guy. He's a high school friend who is a Rush fan, by the way. We went to many Rush concerts when we were in high school. He's still a skier. He still skis. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that there's designated slopes now for snowboarders. But when snowboarding first came on the scene, it was just mayhem. You know, everything from standing in the lift lines to getting off the lift onto the slopes. And it was just very conflicting, because it's a totally different dynamic, the snowboarding versus the skiing. But anyway, and I used to ice skate, and I used to love that too. I still have my ice skates. If we get to the point where something freezes, maybe I will put them on for a half hour and go skate somewhere. Used to love it though, with the fire on the ice and skating around and getting all bundled up. And, you know, so unless you're, you know, a winter outdoorsy person, and some people go hiking in the winter and they just get bundled up. There's snowshoeing. There's a lot of winter activities that you can do, but it's usually a time for cozying up with a hot something or other, a hot cup of something and a blanket and a book or your journal or, you know, your favorite teacher in social media or whatever it is. And, you know, it's just reflection. You know, it's like a time of reflection, setting goals, you know, reflecting back on what the year was, what you experienced, the good things, the things that you're grateful for, the things that you learned, the lessons that you learned, the things that you experienced, what you're wanting to move towards, what you want to create, what you want to build, what next year's going to, your hopes for the next following year. You know, and just everybody's in different phases of life, of this, of their history and age has a lot to do with it. Geographical location has a lot to do with it. There's so many factors that come into play for how people reflect and how people live their life. So last year, I remember this time last year was just all bliss. It was just blissed out, and it's not been so much this season. I still have my feelings of bliss. I always do. I always have joy. I don't let circumstances affect me and bring me down for too long of a period of time. So with all that being said, I'm going to move right into this. My hope in sharing all this tonight is to educate, inspire, also confirm and resonate, because I know that there's a lot of highly sensitive people out there, empaths, starseeds, workers of light, that are in the different phases of understanding what this is. And you're a deep feeler. You sense things, you feel things deeper than the average person. I mean, it took me a lifetime to understand what all this meant and what deciphering it all and learning to understand what belongs to me and what isn't. And I mean, I was a piece of work. As you can imagine, I was a piece of work back in the day when, you know, my 20s and 30s, maybe not so much the late 30s, because I was in the church at the time and I was in the prophetic ministry space. So, you know, in the word of knowledge and stuff like that, which, you know, in the empathy space is just a knowing, you know, it's just an inner knowing and an insight that you have and a discernment that you have and an intuition and so forth. But back then, when I was in my 20s and I didn't know which end was up, I would literally be out somewhere and I'd be picking up someone's energy. And I figured they just knew what they were doing. And I would say things out loud and they would look at me like, are you crazy? You know, and I knew you could feel stuff in your gut. You could feel it in your heart body. And I would just blurt this stuff out thinking I'm feeling it. I'm seeing it. I mean, I was naive. I was young. I was immature. You name it. I fell under the category of it. What did Frank say here? Ice skating at Newmarket Pond. Yes. Oh, my God. Newmarket Pond ice skating. We all went there. Newmarket Pond was a pond in the next town over from Dunellen, like right on the border, Piscataway. We all went to Dunellen High School, and that's where we all went. And we could just walk down the Newmarket Pond and go ice skating. And it was a place where people in Piscataway and Dunellen, just really from other surrounding towns, went ice skating. And that was so much fun. What fond memories. Oh my God, with the fire and all that stuff. But so, it's been so about the bliss and what I was talking about last year and how it was just, and I really think that we were being filled with bliss and experiencing this for what was to come. And I'm just sharing how I feel about this. It doesn't mean it's the absolute truth. I feel it's truth to me. I feel it is the truth. You don't have to agree that it's the truth. It's how I've experienced it and seen it. And I've, you know, shared with other light workers, you know, seasoned light workers about this and what they've experienced. And so I always, here's one thing you should always do is really having a tribe. And if you don't have a tribe, but having connections with other empaths that are seasoned in this, seasoned light workers, people that have been around this stuff for years, people that have healed their issues, people that are, understand what it means to transmute. So you can bounce things off of them and say, are you feeling this? Cause I'm feeling this. What are you seeing? Are you seeing this? Am I crazy? Stuff like this. And you start to learn to stand on your own two feet. You start to stand on your own two feet where you don't need to bounce some things off with other people, off of other people, because you just know what's happening. You know what's taking place. And you're just hearing it come from different sources, and it's a confirmation to you. So I'm going to be doing like a little bit of sort of educating, because there are people that are listening that don't understand any of this, or they're brand new at it, or they're not so brand new at it, but they have their own healing to do. And being an unhealed empath is a really tricky thing. And I was one, and I'm speaking from personal experience. I know what that means, because you internalize everybody else's energy out there as it's against you. And I used to do this too. Like, I was in my 20s and I'd be around certain people and I could feel their anger. I could feel their vibes. I could feel anything that was negative. I internalized, and it's a big issue for empaths. And I'm talking about deep feeling empaths, like empaths on steroids, where you are just picking up everything under the sun. And, you know, like, what did I do to you? You know, are you mad at me for some reason? Do you remember asking friends all the time, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? It's like, no, they weren't mad at you. They were just having their own mood. They were just experiencing their own thing. And you were internalizing it because you could feel it. You could feel either their whatever mood, whatever their sadness, whatever anger, whatever issue they might be having in a family with their spouse, with a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it was. And you internalize that stuff. And what happens is, until you learn how to separate the two, and you understand that, okay, I am this highly sensitive person. I am this prophetic person. I am this empath person. And I have to learn how I have to heal my stuff. So when I heal my own issues and my own, you know, unhealed debris or my own wounds of the past and whatever it was, be it childhood, a divorce, an abusive situation with a family member, or a relationship that has just festered, when you heal the rest of that, you will no longer be interpreting things through that filter. I cannot stress enough how important it is, if you are an empath, a highly sensitive person, and all of this, and I don't want to mean to sound repetitive, I can't stress how important it is to heal your stuff. I cannot stress that, because we are here to be workers of the light. And I'm just flowing from heart space in this. I'm not even going according to the talking points. Let me shoot those out real quick. So, intuition versus empathy in both. I'm going to talk about that, because not everybody that's intuitive is necessarily an empath. Everybody has intuition on some level, but it doesn't mean that they're an empath. Deep feelers of nooks and crannies. I'm talking about, you pick up every single thing under the sun, and that comes under the I'm not crazy about labels, but the description of a starseed, if you look up empath and starseed, the starseeds are like, they feel everything, little shift and turn and nuance and all of it. What does anchoring mean? I'm going to talk about that. Balancing the understanding of why. And that has to do with like relationships, marriage, and friendship. So I'll get to that. Waves of cringe and left field attacks. That's going to be a good one. I had a conversation with a friend about this last night, and we were talking about this, and I said, do you just get a wave of cringe, like out of nowhere? Just waves of ick for no reason. It's like, what is this? And they said, yeah. I'm like, you know, I haven't even talked to anybody about this. I'm sure glad I asked you, because I'm like, what in the freaking freak is this? The waves of ick. So I'll get to that. and left field attacks. Because when you're anchoring, do you see how passionate I am about this? Phases of consciousness, protecting your energy and love, and so much more. So I'm still growing in a lot of this too, as far as the phases of ick. Like, this is a new one this year. That's a new one. I've never had, not the phases of ick, the waves. Now, there's waves of bliss and joy, and then there's ascension symptoms. I didn't even put that down as a talking point. Maybe I should. And I have to tell you, I'm going out on a limb and talking about this because I have friends in all different areas and walks of life, and I'm just speaking from a place of where I know everybody here in this live studio has awareness of this. A lot of people are going to hear this and they may not, and they're going to think this is crazy, but I can't hold this back anymore. This is what I need to do. I'm called to do this. I'm called to teach this stuff now, and I need to step into it. And I've been avoiding it because I don't want to come across as weird. I don't want people to, but what is she talking about? You know, I have to do this. I have to do this. So anyway, okay. So where was I? So that is my hope, is to inspire, confirm, and resonate with you. And also have compassion for people that are trying to figure this out. So what I was saying was I can't stress enough how important it is to constantly be clearing out your own stuff, constantly be healing whatever you need healing in. And you know, healing is a journey. I did a podcast, a couple of them, on this topic about healing is a journey. It's not an arrival place. There's the deep healing of deep wounds and hurts and traumas and things like that. And you do get past that where you have, quote, done your work. And then it's just like fine tuning. But we're always going to be healing on some level, whether you have, I don't know, a disagreement with a friend, an argument, or something happens, or whatever comes your way, of which, if you're human and you have a pulse, you're going to feel these things. And empaths feel these things deeply, deeper than most. And then it's a longer process for an empath and a highly sensitive person. You feel it, and then you step back, and then you're going through all the parts and the pieces, and you're trying to understand it all. And then through that, you transmute it. Then the transmuting comes to where you're transmuting, like, okay, this is not who I am. And it's a combination of the working with the forgiveness as well, depending on what the content is that happened, or the context of whatever it is that took place or was said. So it's a lot. It is a lot for these people. And there's tons of these people all over the globe. There's several groups in Facebook, empath groups. One's called an empath. You can do what you want. I don't recommend becoming part of a group that has like 70,000 members. Because people are going in there dumping all day long, you know, just dumping, dumping, dumping. And sometimes people don't, maturity is a choice. Okay. Growth and maturity is a choice. I say this with the utmost respect, and there's never any shame or judgment here. Maturity and growth is a choice. Sometimes people never move past that, and they tend to be into the fantastic sort of, you know, excitement, so to speak, of all of what they're picking up and what they're seeing. And, you know, it's almost a kind of a drama where they're into the, it's just so emphasized. And to be a whole empath effective, to be an effective empath, you have to move out of that space. And I know everybody's in different spaces. I get that. In those larger groups is probably not the best place for you to cut your empath teeth on. You want to be more connected to people that are seasoned. You want to be connected to, you know, maybe if there's a group somewhere or something. I mean, I thought of creating a group, but I don't have time to be an admin of a group. I don't have time to give a group that kind of attention that it needs and it deserves, because it's about attention. You know, empathy is all the deep feeling and it's all the layers, and it's all the feels, and it's all of the areas, and it's all of the processes. And it requires attention and time. And so hook up with a friend who's seasoned. Have conversations with them. Maybe find a smaller group that looks like they're seasoned and more mature in this area. Because it's, you don't want to be led astray. You don't want it to get into a flaky space. And again, I'm going to say there's no shame or judgment on that. You want to mature in this to where you can handle it, to where you can feel the things, feel all the things and have all the feels, and you know what's yours, and that you can be quick to forgive, quick to understand. You can learn to be swift at this. I did a podcast earlier this week on the power of forgiveness. I posted that last year, and I felt that this was the time to post it again. Anything I post is with intention. I don't post things for the heck of it. I try to be guided as much as I can, or led by heart space and, you know, divinely guided by what I post. And some things are jokes, and some things are just, you know, my own, what's in my heart. But I really felt like the forgiveness thing was so necessary. So, moving right along, intuition and empathy. So let me continue that thought. I want to keep going in that flow. Beth was back. She seems to come and go. I don't know what's going on. Oh, there she is. Okay. I'm glad that you're here. Yes, true. So not Beth, Bella. There's a lot of moving parts to empathy. There's a lot of moving parts to being a highly sensitive person. Even when you're hurt, you feel it deeper than most people. When you're angry, you feel it deeper than most people. When you're happy, it's the same for all the emotions, you know, it's the same. And it's just, I'm very sentimental. I'm a very sentimental person. I'm glad you are, Bella. Thank you. You popped out and back in, and I'm honored that you're here. I'm very sentimental. Like, I take things, you know, to heart. I'm just a big heart person. I've always been a heart person. I've been a heart person my whole entire life. So I think I'll share on this for a couple minutes. I don't know when I became totally aware of this, what year it was. I remember I'll use high school as an example. I talk about high school a lot, but when I was in high school, I was stunned and utterly shocked by a lot of the behavior and a lot of the carelessness and a lot of the, how do people just treat each other like this and call each other names and bully each other and have fist fights in the parking lot? And I'm going to kick your ass after school. And the girls are pulling each other's hair out over some guy. Like, why? I've always asked the question, why, my whole entire life. Like, it didn't just happen 10 years ago. I've been a why person my whole entire life. You know, I've been fascinated by human behavior my whole entire life. And it's, you know, one of the reasons why I do what I do. And it's in the realm of, you know, healing and life coaching and helping people heal and guiding people back to the heart of who they truly are. I put that to good use. You know, it's like when something consumes you like that and you're consumed with this, it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? And so it took time, you know, and reflection and soul searching to figure out, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do and contribute to humanity. And so in high school, it was just like, I was so super sensitive and I was made fun of for it. I mean, I was bullied as a kid. I was not like the popular cheerleader in high school whatsoever. I don't know what category I fell under, but talking with classmates years later, they said, oh, I never perceived you as that, Dawn. I just thought you were just a shy, quiet person. Like, you have no idea what I was going through back then. I was scared to death walking to school every day. I was scared to death walking through those hallways. Depending on who was in what class, I was petrified. Like, you just don't even know. Because there were kids that were being abused at home. There were kids that were fighting and screaming and growing up in trauma at home. There was a lot of energy and a lot of stuff taking place as teenagers. And I was just a sponge for all of it. And I didn't know why. Had no idea why. I had nobody to go to about this. I had nobody to talk to about this. And then a friend of mine, her name was Jane. She was the one of the most popular girls in school. And she was gorgeous and a cheerleader. And she could do like not just a split, but a Russian split. So if you know what that is, it's not just, I mean, a Russian split is like, so look that up. She would bang, pow, down to the ground. Like she, anyway. So she wasn't, people thought she was stuck up because she was gorgeous, but she wasn't. And so her and I were friends, and not everybody else knew that we were friends, because I was with one crowd and she was with another. And it was just, you know, but we would spend hours on the phone talking about anxiety, and that she had anxiety and I had anxiety. And that's why I had anxiety as a kid. And I used to drive myself when I was 19 years old. I drove myself to the emergency room 3 times for anxiety attacks. And empaths tend to struggle with anxiety. And it's because of all the energy they're picking up. And you have to learn how to protect your energy and learn where to invest your energy and learn all those things. And I'm hoping to be able to do this topic justice. I mean, it's 31 minutes in already. This is definitely going to go an hour and 20 at least. Now, so in hindsight, I could say, well, yeah, she was having anxiety attacks. I was having anxiety attacks. And we would just talk on the phone about this. And they weren't full blown in high school. It didn't get full blown until I graduated high school. And then it was like, I got to go to the hospital. I feel like I'm going to pass out or die right now. I need to get in the car and go. And I've told this story where I refused to take medicine. Like, I just refuse. I never took one pill. Never. I just never took a drop of medicine. And that's when I started going to church. It was December 11th of 1986. And it was a blessing in disguise. So let me see what Bella said here. You had a panic attack. It's not fun. I know the feel. Oh, many, many panic attacks. Real, like, where you feel in your head you're going insane panic attacks. Not where you just feel a little anxious. Sometimes we feel anxious for a lot of reasons. Like, I can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for my friend to open up her gift. Or something like that. Or you're anxious about, like, you can't sleep because you're going to see someone you love you're going to meet them for, you know, you're going to go out on a date tomorrow, something like that. So we all experience some anxiousness on some level, but panic, where your head is like, you don't know where your head is at. You can't control your thoughts and you feel like you're going to pass out in any minute and you're hyperventilating. That is scary as hell. And that's the kind of stuff that I dealt with, you know, after I had graduated high school, like around 17, 18 years old. I graduated when I was 17 because I actually started kindergarten when I was 4. So I was like one of the youngest in my class. So I had all these feels and stuff. And I'm like, doesn't anybody care? Does anybody else care in this whole entire class of school like I do? And I was desperate to connecting with people that were heart-centered, but I wasn't mentally aware of this. You know, our mental awareness and our consciousness, of course, increases the older that we become. We mature on a natural level as well as a human being. And I was just starved for people to feel what I was feeling, starved for people to see things the way I saw them. And I didn't have anybody to tell me what this was. So it wasn't until it was later on in life, and it was after the church experience, actually, because the church experience was, okay, I was prophetic. I would get words of knowledge. I would have intuition for people. I would see into people's hearts about things. I would have a sense about things, but I didn't call it empathy at the time. That word isn't really welcomed or used in the religious sector. So it was after I left church, was around 2008. And I started delving into some material that I never thought I would. Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. And I'll tell you what, I felt like a rotten garbage sinner when I bought that book. You just bought a New Age book. You're consorting with the New Age community, you know? And at that point, I it's like, I didn't care who knew this, because I didn't leave a whole community of friends when I left the church. It was like a slow, painful death. And I really didn't care what anybody thought in the church, because I always thought friendships in the church were fake to begin with. I knew they weren't real. I knew it was all centered around, you know, praise the Lord, brother. And, you know, you go into service on Thursday night, that there was no real intimate, connected camaraderie or tribe with people in the church. You know, I knew that. But so when I started investigating and exploring other people, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer is a favorite. Wayne Dyer is a big time favorite of mine. What is his name? He wrote The Four Agreements. And I recommend everybody read The Four Agreements once a year. It's a great It's just a great read. He also wrote The Alchemist. What is his name? My goodness gracious. It's over here. I have a bunch of books to my left over here, like on this bookshelf. There's a Don Miguel Ruiz. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Really, really, it's short. It's to the point. It's really good. It's awesome. So, what was I going to say? I felt like I was like from another planet, you know? And so now where we are in this consciousness with some people that I'm close with, I'm not saying that that's what this is, but we have definitely come from another place. You know, none of us are really of this world. You know, we are hearts and souls and spirits having a human experience. In this meat suit, this flesh and bone of body. You know, it's pretty fascinating if you think about it. So how are we a spirit? Like, where does a spirit, where actually is it, you know, in the physical body? Because, you know, if you have heart surgery, you cut up open the rib cage, you're not going, oh, look, there's the soul. It's not something that can be seen like that with the naked eye. Neither is the spirit. And this is why I interchange words. I don't like to be so semantical because we can't really define what all these things precisely mean. I've had some very lucid experiences. I've had some out of body experiences. I've had some, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and jumping out the window experiences or walking through walls. And look, this sounds weird. That's what this is about tonight. And you know, if I lose some people or they think I'm strange, I can't apologize for that. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because this is what we're moving into. And this journey is all about love. And I talked about this on Tuesday night. It's all about love. All this is love. The beginning and the middle and the end of the day, it's all about love. It's all about this love journey. And that's what empathy is. It's love in action. You know, it's not just apathy. Well, apathy is the opposite of love. But it's not just sympathy. You know, when you sympathize with someone, empathy is taking action. It's an action of what the sympathy that you feel and what you feel in your heart, like deeply in your heart for people and for situations and things. And it's the kind of action that leads you into this light work that I'm talking about here, you know, being a worker of light. And so this world needs empathy more than ever. And it's where we become, you know, activators of love and activators of the light instead of just, you know, being apathetic and, you know, about creating just taking care of our own lives, you know, us four and no more type thing in the family or whatever it is. And I mean, there's just so many different perspectives in the world of everything. And it's a heavy space that we're in with the war, with just everything that's taking place in the government and what's not taking place through the government, the protection that we don't have anymore. I don't know when we ever did. You know, it's beyond this third dimension, this 3D realm of this earth, but we have to understand at the same time how to function as loving beings on this planet and how to relate to people, because life is people and we have to understand and learn how to, when I say we have to, it's like I'm not being dictatorial in saying that. It's just the way that I'm talking. Bring that empathy into the one-on-one. You know, the face-to-face, the voice-to-voice, the demonstrating it more than talking about it or posting about it or going about our business, like really stopping and thinking about, you know, because it's been heavy for the empaths and the highly sensitive people the past 6 months, the second half of this year. It's been rough. There's been a lot of stuff going on, a lot of energy to absorb, a lot of, and what I talked about Tuesday night was all kinds of, you know, stuff and debris coming to the surface and people being triggered like nobody's business. And it's on purpose. It's on purpose so they can heal, so they can get back to the heart of who they truly are, so they can live in a real inner peace with real joy and real love on a day-to-day basis, you know, not just talking about it or wanting it or... You know, love is more than a good idea. It's more than a meme. It's more than a post. It's really doing, you know, which is what empathy is. I mean, we need to show people to be grateful, which is more important than showing gratitude. Well, yeah, I mean, yes. Well, I think that, and I hear what you're saying. I feel that our lives, and I talk about this a lot, our lives and the lives that we live demonstrate more things than what we actually talk about. And when you're listening to someone and you're holding space for someone and you're demonstrating empathy in that moment when you're listening to someone vent, or you're supporting someone that's going through a hard time or they need someone to talk to, and you're holding space and you're listening to them, just being a listening ear is a form of empathy. I want to move into this 41 minutes. Okay. So intuition versus empathy. I want to talk about that. So the intuition, and this applies to, this is not a feminine thing. This is a feminine and masculine. This is male, female. This is for humanity. This is for all people. I know a lot of male empaths. The person I spoke to last night is an empath. Along the same lines as this, the depths of this feeling with the cringe energy that I mentioned a few minutes ago, which I want to revisit in a couple minutes. There's so much I want to share, and I feel like my mind is racing. Like, I got to slow down for a minute. Let me just slow down because I got to stay into and cover things appropriately and do these things justice. The intuition. So when you're intuitive, you just have a sense of something, you know, a sense of what. I mean, you can be intuitive in business where you have a sense of maybe something that's coming, maybe something you need to change, whatever that might, however that applies in business. So intuition isn't always a highly spiritually wired thing. Not everybody that is an intuitive and senses things and is picking up on things or discerning things like that deems them an empath, because intuition, you can be intuitive about something. I'm an intuitive empath. Like, I'm both of these. I'm very sensitive, and it doesn't mean I'm easily offended sensitive. It means I'm very sensitive to a lot of energy and a lot of things and behaviors and the nuances and all the different shifts and changes and stuff like this. And it hasn't been easy. By any means has it been easy, or by no means has it been easy. This one group that I've been in, it's called What Evolved Women Want. And Jen is the moderator in there. She's the admin. Her and her partner, Graham White, do videos. She posted 2 days ago. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. And she said, and she's a badass. She's a strong woman. She has children. Graham has children. And she said that, you know, yesterday was hard. I cried a lot. I cried myself to sleep. You know, and she went on about all the feels and the emotions. She said, being a healer is not easy. And it's not. It absolutely is not. If you're a real healer, it's not easy because of all the things that you feel and all the stuff that you sense and all the things that you understand. It's a totally different existence than the average person. And there's no judgment in me saying or using that phrase, the average person. It's a totally different existence. And so it's like, you know, I love her because she talks about, you know, not being afraid to be the too much woman or the too much, you know, the woman who you probably heard from men in your life. You're just too much for me. You're too emotional. You're too this, you're too that. I heard that my whole entire life. You're too intense. You're too serious. Yeah, you're down right. I'm intense and I'm serious because everything I'm taking in and everything I'm observing every single day and everything that I'm digesting every single day, having to process every single day. I mean, it's not heavy every single day, but every day is different. And depending on the time of year, and this particular year has been full speed ahead, deal with your stuff and heal kind of year. On steroids, big time for everybody. Not everybody's accepted that invitation. You know, there's a lot of good blame shifters out there. There's a lot of good, that's not a judgmental statement. I'm saying that not everybody's accepting the invitation to this work right now. And so you'll see in social media sometimes, you know, a friend of mine has nothing to do with anybody in this place. I'm just putting that out there. Has nothing to do with anybody in this space, in this studio, or even that listens to the show. They just posted that, you know, I feel like I don't want to be here anymore. You know, I just don't want to be here anymore. And I want to just commit suicide. And they weren't, you know, they're not going to do that, but I've seen them do this before. I've been connected to this person for several years. And then the next day it was, I'm so sorry. Thank you all for your love and stuff like this. And in my feeling, if this person would really, if there's any time to hunker down, I wish this person would hunker down and really seek out a therapist or a soul healer to help them really get through this, because they kind of live in this place where they sort of just manage their issues instead of clearing their issues. And there's a big difference with that. But there's been a lot of this. And so another friend of mine in a different space posted, yesterday about suicide, but it was a totally different context of suicide. This lovely lady lost her grandson to suicide earlier this year. I think it was February. And her name is Barbara Simons. She is an author. I've had her on my podcast. She's a wonderful lady. She was in the prophetic ministry for years in the church. She was like a sought out prophetic voice back then. And it started out by saying, if you are considering suicide, it's on her page, it's public, you can read it. And she said, at times we all experience the crucible. And she explained this, and she explained the silver making process that she learned when she was a kid. And it's really a lovely piece. And I felt inspired to say, I felt like impressed to say, and, you know, along with what she stated, that my heart goes out to you for experiencing and, you know, having your first Christmas without your grandson. You know, I loved her very articulate vision granding crucible process of silver. Silver's all I wear. I don't wear gold. I sold all my gold a long time ago. I love silver. And there's probably an energetic reason for that, but I love sterling silver. It's all, the only jewelry that I wear. And I just put out there, I said, I'd like to share this for any empaths, HSPs, and healers reading, you know, that this year has been a hell of a year energetically. I've been podcasting and posting on it. Suicide isn't really what these would think of doing, but not wanting to be here anymore on this earth has been a very real feeling at times, myself included. Coming under attack, slander, gossip, misunderstanding, taken for granted, drained via being dumped on, wanted for help and receiving little in return, I could go on and on. The real light workers, having done their work, who are anchoring the light, see and understand the why to things and depths of energy that drives behavior, has been daunting. The dross rising to the top in massive amounts. While there is bliss and joy to be personally had, it's been heavy at the same time, as I've seen many want to give up, flip everyone off, and wish they lived a regular third dimension life. It doesn't exist. And it's not by choice. They have been chosen in their soul's journey for this experience, of which no one brags about. And then I said, you know, I'm offering compassion, understanding, and relief. So this statement where I said here, wanting to flip everybody off, this would explain last Tuesday's podcast. And I really don't want to revisit that. But that is partially why I did that. What I did, I have removed it since. It's been removed. It was just coming to a head in every way. And years ago, when we were told that the thick darkness is going to be closing in, but the light will get brighter and brighter, I did not think it would feel like this. I did not expect this. And a lot of us didn't. And I've had conversations with veterans, and I'm just using that word, you know, the seasoned empaths, you know, that, and I lost my shit. I'm telling you, I don't like darkness talk. I don't like it. I don't like giving that stuff energy. It grieves me. And I'm telling you, as I'm talking right now, I could feel this, and I hope it's coming through. I feel the compassion, and I feel just this, you know, real deep sense of emotion, and no other way to say it, in my gut right now as I'm sharing this. I have a big aversion to darkness, huge. And I know that part of my calling and life's work is to confront Jezebel, witchcraft, and Jezebel, big time. And depending on where you're from, you're going to understand control, witchcraft, and Jezebel from wherever you may have been schooled in the area of spirituality and how this stuff functions. This goes back 30 years of prophetic words being spoken over me and different things. You know, if anything at any time rises up in control, or there's witchcraft involved, or there is fear to the depths involved where it is manipulative, I'm telling you what. I'm not playing games with that stuff, because it's toxic. It's done a number on people's lives. It's hurt people. It's wounded people. It's hurt people. I mean, that's where I come from with this. So if you've ever wanted to know or would like to kindly understand, that's where my passion is with all of this. My passion lies in the freedom of humanity and the freedom from fear. Well, why? Why are you so emotional about this? Don't ask me. I didn't raise myself. You know what I'm saying? Well, I kind of raised myself, but I didn't plan this. It's like I didn't decide one day, like, you know, I think I'll just do this. I think I'll take on world problems. I think I'll just, you know, anchor the light for humanity and feel like I don't want to be here some days because I can just see into all the pain and the heartache. You don't pick your path like that. You know, I was chosen to do this, hence why I was born at dawn, 5 o'clock in the morning. My father named me Dawn. I mean, that's just this little tip of the iceberg with this. I can't help it. It consumes me in my heart of wanting humanity's freedom that much that I'm willing to tell the truth to sometimes to a fault for people's freedom, because I've been through a lot of stuff. I've been through a lot of stuff. Somebody I was talking to, I don't know if it was yesterday. I don't know who it was. I'm trying to think what story I was talking about. I don't know if it was the Australia story. But anyway, so it's so important to heal your stuff, and it's so important to get clarity, and it's so important if you feel that this is the direction that you're meant to go, and if you feel that you are this empath sort of, you know, divinely heart-centered, highly sensitive person, to really do your work, to really understand that it's a journey, that we don't arrive. You're not judged for the mistakes that you make. You know, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. And it's okay to it's okay to lose your shit. It's okay to, because you're taking on so much. And you're looking around at so much. Like, I went grocery shopping today, right? I do this every Thursday. So I went grocery shopping. And, you know, it's Christmas. And it's Christmas weekend. And it's just so weird, because while I'm tapping into tidbits of the Christmas spirit, part of me is like, this cringy stuff's coming up. this waves of like, yuck. And it's not my yuck. It's just... It's people's yuck, and it's the motions that people are still going through. It's the mask. It's the lies. It's the lying to themselves. It's not stepping up to really saying, okay, I surrender to love now. I think I need to do this. And so I'm walking in the grocery store, and it's packed, you know, middle of the afternoon. A lot of men, a lot of married men, I'm assuming they're married men, with their grocery list, because their wife sent them shopping. Like, I go shopping every Thursday afternoon. If I'm in the grocery store between 2 and 3 o'clock on a Thursday, there aren't this many men with a grocery list shopping. You know, they have off from work or their practice, whatever it might be, their business. And wifey sent him out because she's shopping, Christmas shopping and cooking and baking cookies and wrapping stuff at home. So they're all the guys, you know, and you could tell. Some of these guys look totally lost in the grocery store. Oh, it's funny. Truly. What was that? Was that a crow? Because I didn't want a crow. Where's the laugh track? It was a crow. But you know what? Hey, There you go. There's a synchronicity and sign right there. A crow. The crow has been my spirit animal for 25 years, and that's the truth. That was my spirit animal for 25 years. So, yes. They do. They look lost. I know Dave heard that. Come on. So Dave grocery shops. He grocery shops for his mom too. So I just get, you know, but she's 90. So she deserves that. And he has a right to do this. You know, I'm sorry if I gave out too much information. Ms. Mava. How many people love the name Mava? Is that like the most amazing name you've ever heard in your life? I've never heard this name ever. That is like the queenest queenie name I've ever heard. Mava. Oh my God. Anyway. But at the same time, you know, it's like people are frustrated and they're in a rush and they're in a hurry. And there were two cars that were broken down in the parking lot. And so I'm trying to get around those cars. And some woman drove past me and she rolled her window down and she's like, you're in the wrong lane. We're not. Here's a badass empath move. You don't say a word. So if you listened and you heard what I talked about on Tuesday night, where you know you've transmuted and you know that you're mature when you make a remember the parallel of the two glasses of water, one that's 25% full and the other glass of water that's 75% full, and when the wind comes, which one's going to be knocked down? I'm not going to say anything. I had no desire to say anything, but inside I went, oh, okay. Do you see what's going on here? I had to get around these people because someone's given another car a jump and I had to move around them. But so there's energy. There's energy. Last year it was bliss. This year, not so much because everybody's kind of being nudged and pushed and prodded to deal with their stuff. But it's for your own benefit. It's for their own benefit. It's for their own love. And they don't, some people don't understand this yet, that it's for my own good that I get rid of this stuff. So intuition versus empathy. You can be intuitive and understand some things, but empathy is a whole other ballgame because of the way you feel things. And also, intuitives don't necessarily want to go around helping everybody. Empaths want to help and save everyone. And I had to get over that a long time ago. They want to help and save absolutely everybody. And we're not, number one, we're not supposed to save people. We're not here to, quote, save people. Wanting to help people, and I understand that, and you want to help people because your heart is so moved for people that are suffering, struggling, whatever it is, or people that are hurting. And so here's the thing. You spread yourself out too thin. You end up talking on the phone too long. You're talking to too many people. You're getting involved in too many chats. Strangers are coming up to you in public and shoe departments and the Macy's, you know, wherever you're at, Starbucks. And people are just like, this happened to me today. Wait, this morning. No. So Dave said, I don't live with my mom, by the way. Okay. I'm making it known. Dave does not live with his mother. No, Dave takes good care of his mother. I would not incriminate you like that, my friend. He takes care of his mother like you're supposed to do when they're 90. That's what you're supposed to do. And they live at home. And she's a badass. She just started yoga, Ms. Mava. She's a yoga badass at 90. Okay. That's pretty cool. What was I going to say? So today, someone came into my space. I'm not going to say who it was. And it wasn't on the phone and it wasn't in social media. But somebody came into my space. It was face to face. And they started wanting to tell me. And I was like, you know what? I just kind of backed up. And it wasn't rude, but I just put up like this massive thing within me, and you can learn how to do this. You put up this massive thing within me. I don't have time right now. I can't talk to you right now. You can just throw that energy. I can't talk to you right now. I'm not taking this in. I'm not going to take this in. Nope. I'm not taking this in. People will dump on you all day long if you let them. Empaths are dump balls. If you don't learn how to raise boundaries and establish boundaries of like, I can give you this much time right now. I can listen to what you have to say right now, but I don't have too much time. Or sometimes you have to say no to people. Like the word no is a really good word for empaths. It's a really great word. Learn to use that word no and often. Boundaries and friendships, marriage even have boundaries. There's healthy boundaries. Some for real, there's boundaries in marriage. Somebody wrote the book about boundaries years ago. Oh gosh, Henry Cloud and John Townsend, Boundaries, I think. And boundaries in marriage. They wrote a separate book on boundaries in marriage. And it doesn't mean you hate your spouse or that you know, it's just there's boundaries as to how you communicate. And then, you know, the blend of the feminine and the masculine together and all that stuff is a whole other subject. But this person was like wanting to just, they wanted my ear and they wanted my ear bad. And they wanted to just tell me stories like they like to just tell me stories. I'm like, nope, can't do it. Can't do it today. No, I got to focus. And I'm going to tell this story tonight, by the way. Once I get away from you, I'm going to be telling this story. Because here's the thing. Here's what happens too. Here's what happens. And if you have friends that are empaths and you're not one, if you're not one, or if you are one, empaths are putting their heart out there 24 freaking 7 every day, all day long. They're just always sensitive. They're always there. And so when they get a little impatient, or if they get a little impatient, or if they kind of be like, okay, I got to go. Or, you know, if stuff like that happens, you need to understand why, because people are drawn to them like moths to a flame. They are anchoring the light on this planet. They are taking healed empaths, which I've talked about healing your stuff, are taking stuff in and they're transmuting it as fast as a printing press can bang out a newspaper for the next morning. It's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff and a lot of things that are processing through their heart body and through their system. You know, there's a lot. It's like the nooks and crannies that you know, you can even tell when a text comes in. I mean, I can tell if someone passes me on the road. You ever get behind? I mean, I know there's a bunch of people that can relate to this. You might be driving on the road. And for me, when I'm driving somewhere, I can tell when someone, they might not have their signal on. But you know when someone, they want to just move right into that lane. And it's like, no, sometimes when I'm driving alone, I do talk to myself. I'll say things out loud. No, I got to pass, pal. I got to pass you. And sure enough, I look in the rearview mirror and they moved right on over. You get a sense and a feel for what people are doing. Maybe that's not the greatest example. Maybe that's a more obvious thing. But you can tell when people lean back. You can tell when people are just doing certain things. You can feel when you can feel when someone's bullshitting you. You can feel when someone's lying. You can feel when someone's not being telling the total truth. You can feel when and sense these things. And sometimes what kills me is sometimes when this whole thing is out to lunch, because I've had a bullshit detector from day one. Like even before I considered myself to be an empath or whatever label we use, sometimes it just takes a nap. And I'm like, how did I not see this coming? And so this person said to me last night in this conversation, well, you have a big heart. You have a big heart and you want to believe the best in people. You see the best in people. You have to be careful. Even when you believe the best in people and you see the best in people and you see potential, not every relationships aren't built on potential. Okay. They're built on the integrity and character they're bringing to the table in that moment. So what they're showing you in that moment is the character of who they are. And empaths can see potential. And so this Jennifer Funk, who mentioned in the group yesterday, she talks to women about this stuff, you know, in the dating space, which is what her and Graham do. They help women, you know, awaken in this dating space and to raise their consciousness in this dating space, you know, to be, you know, wanting a love, the conscious love. So she talks about this and I just lost my thought and I hate when this happens. So, but you tend to be like a sponge and picking up all these things. And so I was talking about the relationship space. Why does the thought keep coming and leaving, coming and going? I hate when this happens because there's so much I want to cover. I want to talk about ascension symptoms, which is might sound strange to some people. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this cringe stuff that I think has been coming up, that icky energy, I think is part of you're sensing that people are being called to ascend and they might not necessarily be doing so. And that might be their resistance. You know, there's a sense of resistance. There's a sense of people that are bringing a fake, an image, a mask to the space. Like, it's just like, we can't stand this anymore. Be who you really are. live from your heart space already, would you please? You know, sometimes you get into that space. And so this woman that I just read that whole thing, that was from a post of hers yesterday. She was grateful. I mean, she's a spiritual badass in and of her own right. And I'm just feeling like part of what gives me life right now is this, is bringing life and love and light to empaths, to people in this space, talking about this, helping people become more aware. And I was saying a couple minutes ago that you're not broken, you're not messed up and all those things. It's just you have a certain history, that you were raised a certain way, or you had a certain relationship, or you had a certain upbringing, or you had a certain experience, whatever it was. And there's lingering wounds surrounding this that you just need to clear, because it's going to cloud your filter. And it's going to cloud your filter. And I was talking about this on Tuesday, when the filter's clouded, and this is where drama comes from unhealed wounds, unhealed debris, and unmet needs. And so drama is really someone crying out for their needs to be met in a really wonky way. Like, I want to be heard, I want to be seen, and they're just going about it at a left field, like in this aggressive boom, boom, boom kind of way, and they don't know how to do it any better. And so I'm going to move into a point right now that's coming to me as I'm saying this. Empaths also feel, not that you don't make mistakes, but because you manage your space so well, and you see things, and you're so sensitive, because you would never behave with certain people in certain ways, eventually you have moved, or you will move so far away from all of this kind of toxic, dysfunctional behavior that you get into a place where you cannot understand, why are these people acting like this? Why are you doing this? And it's not a judgment. It's just you're removed. You're far from it. You have peace in your home. You have real inner peace in your life. And you just don't want any part of this anymore. And it's like, well, can you please just come to me in a way that says, I'd like to talk to you. Can we please talk? Or the woman that drove past me, she could have clearly seen that I was trying to get around two cars that were giving each other a jump or whatever was going on. She didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to scream out her window at me. So she's got her own frustrations. She's got a sick and tired thing going on. So she's sick and tired. And there's a lot of sick and tired stuff happening right now. And if everybody would take a minute to breathe, I made a post today for the winter solstice about breathing, you know, breathe and breathe even deeper, and just stillness. A lot of stillness. I've been grounding barefoot on the freezing cold ground. I don't care. The sun's coming up. It'll be coming up earlier in a couple months. But I take a few minutes. I get bundled up and I'm barefoot. And I if I stand out there just for a couple minutes, my feet hit that ground. I just need to ground for the morning, just for a couple minutes. And the sun's coming through the trees and it's beautiful. You got to ground, you got to self-love, you got to self-care. Take hot bubble Epsom salt baths. Epsom salt is amazing. Men too. Men bathe, bubble bath, whatever. It's hot tub, soak, whatever we can call this. There's like pink Himalayan salt. There's all kinds of things that you could do to ground yourself and to bring peace to within. It's so important more than ever right now to have that peace. Within yourself, so you can let things pass through. And if you're not regularly breathing and letting things pass through, things start to accumulate. It accumulates, and reflection is necessary. Journaling, writing things down, your solitude, your prayer, your meditation, whatever it is, self-care, a lot of good self-care, so you can process it out. You know, and forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is a big, big, big thing for empaths, especially because of what you see. And a lot of what you see has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with anything other than what you're seeing. And it's, and what Jen said a couple of days ago, she said, it's hard being a healer. because you're seeing so much and you're taking on so much. So you have to learn how to really forgive, like, and not lose grace and become impatient with people. And it's easy to do that. I mean, especially this year, you know, it's been intense. What you listen to and watch is ever so important too. What you're listening to, what you're watching. If it's television, if it's movies, I mean, I don't really watch much television. I'm only paying attention to football right now. Sometimes they have the quote news on for a minute, so I don't miss any kind of, I don't know, an impending tornado or something. I like to stay quote up to date, but I don't know how up to date it really is anyway. But what you watch, I never liked any scary movies. I was never into that. I know people that just love these scary thrasher, cut them up, all kinds of movies. I just couldn't handle it. I mean, I'd watch a scary movie and it would haunt me for months because of the empathy. Haunt me. Like Freddy Krueger, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh my God. I couldn't sleep for weeks. For weeks. It was horrible. I was a kid. I'm 17, 18. I don't remember how. I think I was 18 years old. I could not sleep for weeks after seeing that movie. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. I would literally be scared lying in bed at night. What you're listening to, the content that you're listening to, the stories that people are talking about, just any kind of content that's out there anywhere, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, social media, whatever you're listening to and whatever you're taking in, it's all, you know, contributing to what you're feeling and the process and the transmuting that you have all the more to do. Let me see here. What does anchoring mean? I'm going to talk about that for a minute. What does anchoring the light mean? It's an intention. It's an intention. Your heart is already a loving, empathic person. And anchoring the light takes place in a lot of ways. It's through intention. It's through, you know, sending out wishes, prayers, maybe in your meditation time or just being still or just wishing people well. Wishing people love and light, wishing people, and I'm talking about real love and real light, not like the love and light community that is kind of can be foofy sometimes. You know, I cleanse in the morning. I don't shower. I cleanse and I say, I put things out there to people and I speak love and light and healing out to the collective and stuff. And I'll tell you the past month, there were days that were so heavy that, oh my God, you know, kind of stuff. It's the world of an empath and a highly sensitive person, you know? And so working that light, that's part of it. What you're carrying is working the light. It's like, you're almost bearing the burden, you know, you're bearing the burden, but it's through breathing, through your stillness, through your releasing, the transmuting, your own healing journey. And it just, you know, constantly wishing people well. If you're having differences with people or, you know, a disagreement, clearing it up as fast as you can. And hopefully the party or parties that are involved will be willing to have a conversation in a, you know, a mature, resolve-oriented way about it. You got to release that stuff real quick. You got to let it go fast. Don't let things fester. The looping in the mind, I think I talked about that on Tuesday, when your mind is looping. And anytime your mind's going round and round and round, you can't let something go and it keeps going on and on and on. There's an emotional thing that's driving that when you can't let something go and you're just fixated in your head and it's going round and round and round. It's looking for resolution and the mind isn't finding resolution because it's in your heart that you're feeling it still. You're feeling it in your heart body within your body. And because you're feeling it and you haven't really let it go, you're now trying to figure it out in your head. Empaths are overthinkers. We're overthinkers. We analyze things too much, you know, the overthinking. But when overthinking is combined with the health, the emotional health and a healthy empathy space, you come up with some pretty damn good wisdom. You know, when you're thinking into situations and you're looking at a situation from a space of empathy mixed with, you know, the accurate, clear intuition and compassion, you'll come up with some really good stuff, some answers, some resolutions. So important to stay clear. Keep your field clear, your heart clear. It's so important. But anchoring, that's all part of anchoring the light. And, you know, just holding space for people, no matter what. If someone's done you wrong, and it's hard if someone's done you dirty, or if they betrayed you or they lied to you or whatever that is, it's hard. You want to retaliate. You want to come out with some stuff. You want to be like, you know, because you were hurt. And the deeper that you feel, the more hurt that you feel, which is why I don't always agree with some law of attraction stuff out there that, well, you're hurt because you drew it in and, you know, you're damaged and broken. And so that's why you keep attracting this. I don't agree with that all the time. There's exceptions to the rule. Mr. Jeff Brown is a good one, a good source for this. He's been talking about this for years. He doesn't agree with it either. He's very grounded. His book, Grounded Spirituality, is awesome. And yes, I'm giving somebody else a plug. His latest book is Hearticulations, I think. He's all about this stuff. He's all about balance. He's all about it. There are exceptions to every rule. There are exceptions, and not everything is black and white. And you can't be in a black and white mentality and be an empath. That is just a recipe for disaster. There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of things that come into play, and a lot of moving parts in all of this. And context, you know, there's context to every situation that happens with every two people or family or stuff like this. There's context, you know, no two situations are the same. Balancing the understanding of why. I want to talk about this for a minute, an hour and 17 minutes. Wow, this is a long one. So balancing the understanding of why. It's hard when you are, I'm going to leave marriage out of this. It's hard when you have a friend or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a work situation when someone is acting very lousy and you understand why they're doing it. And what empaths tend to do, because they have big hearts, depending on the size of their heart, depending on all of that and their own whole space, they tend to keep extending more grace. And before you know it, you become a doormat because you just understand why all the time. And you know why they're doing what they're doing all the time. And then they just keep doing it. And you're like, well, you know, I understand why they're doing it. And eventually you start to feel like a fool. You know, you'll start feeling like a fool and start feeling like you're just being taken advantage of. And this is why a lot of people out there are people that are empaths that don't even know they are. Think about that one. I know a few people in my life, they are empaths straight up and they don't even know it. And there's no way for me to, there hasn't been really an opportunity for me to say this to them. One of them is a friend. He was a landlord of mine. He is an empath and he didn't know it. And empaths just know things. And when you're in friendships and relationships with people and you're around people, you know things. And so he would tell certain stories over and over again. You know, he was way older than me and he would tell certain stories over and over again. And I could just feel the pain, you know, I could feel his regret or I could feel his sadness about it. And it's like, this was 30 years ago. You know, like my heart would sink like this was 30 years ago. Can we please, can I help you get past this? And they're just like, some people are just not, they're in a place in life. They're not going to change. They're not open to healing. They're not open to, yeah, help me through the steps of how I can let this grow, how I can let this grow go. And I can grow in this. You know, some people are just not there and they don't, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And even if your heart is wanting to help someone grow, if they're not, you have to leave it be. But when you're in a situation with friends where people keep taking advantage, and there are people that will say, you know, I'm always taken advantage of, and I guarantee that they're an empath and they don't know it and they don't know how to establish healthy boundaries. And so then they start learning healthy boundaries. But along with learning the healthy boundaries, you have to learn this empath heart that you have and how to separate all the things. So you don't keep making excuses for all this bad behavior. you know, the disrespect, the dishonor that you deserve, the reciprocation. And I know that there's content out there that talks about, there's content out there that talks about, you know, real love doesn't need reciprocation. I disagree with that. I disagree with that because why are we in a marriage? Why are we in a friendship if we're not going to reciprocate? You know, if I'm not going to hold space for, I'm not going to support you and you're not going to support me. Why are we doing this? It might be a time where maybe you're going through a hard time for a few months. Maybe you're going through a divorce, a breakup, or maybe you're in transition in some area of your life. You're in transition. And so you are not in a place to give support. Maybe I have to support you for 3 months. You can roll with that. There's like, you know, there, again, it's gray. It's not black and white, and vice versa. Maybe I'm going through something and I need some support and I can't really give much right now because I have a lot on my plate, and maybe you can hold space for me until I get through that. You know, that's reciprocation, you know, I think. And anytime a relationship or a friendship, whatever the context is, where it's one-sided, it's time to bless and release. In my opinion, it's time to bless and release because people can be energy vampires. They will suck your empathy dry until you feel like you have nothing, and then you have been taken advantage of. And it's not fun. You know, it's not fun to be taken advantage of like that. And because you're the good-hearted person, so, oh, they have a good heart. And then people know it sometimes too. I don't have anybody in my life like this, but sometimes people know that you have a good heart. I used to, and they'll call when it's convenient for them. They'll show up when it's convenient for them. Oh God, back in the day, I was like 30 something. I had just gotten divorced, and this one person would call me and she would want to go out. Let's go out on Friday night. Let's just go out. You know why she wanted me to go out? She wanted me to go out so the two of us could go out and sit there. We wouldn't have she didn't want to have conversation and catch up. She just wanted someone to tag along so she could go pony up to the bar and talk to guys while she left me sitting at the table for a half hour. That's a true story. You know, and I'll tell you what I did. She did this a couple times. This is a true story. She did this a couple times. She had five kids from two different fathers. And I'm not saying this with shame or judgment, so please don't take it this way. I'm really not. I was sitting at this table for like a half hour. Where'd she go? What's going on? You know, and I was looking forward to having a conversation with her. I'm like, okay, are we going through this again? So I left the table. Sure enough, I walked over to the bar, and this was like a place that was packed, and it was like three people deep. And sure enough, there she is. So I pushed my way through, and she was talking to some man, having a drink with this guy, and she left me sitting at the table. You know what I did? I said, oh, in case you didn't know, she has five kids. I said, come on, hon, let's go. And that was it. And she just looked at me like, she just really... I was like infuriated. I'm out of here. Let's go. So we got in the car. I said, you know what? She's like, oh, Dawn. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm tired of you using me to want to go out on a Friday night or a Saturday night because you want to go pick up yet another guy and you don't want to do it yourself. I'm done with this. I'm dropping you off and we're through. And that's literally how I handled this. I mean, enough is enough, you know, and sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you have to really raise a standard and say, you know what? My heart is as big as a house. And it really is. And if you have a heart as big as a house, you got to protect that sucker. You really do. I already talked about waves of cringe and left field attacks. Oh, well, I didn't talk about the attacks. So if by chance you've been experiencing attacks out of left field, there's a reason for that too. Because you are an anchor of the light. You are a light worker. You are holding space. You are anchoring the light. You are... And what that means, again, is you are always putting love and light out there. You're always understanding people. You're always wishing people well. And just sending people silently blessings and silently wishing them well is as simple as that, as anchoring the light. And it can go deeper than that, of which I'm not going to share right now. But you have to protect that energy. You have to protect that and not be so open and willing all the time to absolutely everybody everywhere. You have to become more discerning. And I'm talking to myself. Be discerning and be sensitive as to, and listen. Listen to source, listen to God, listen to universe. Start, continue inquiring, continue asking, continue pressing in and getting wisdom. Like, I've been hearing things so clearly recently, like, okay, it's quiet. It's a very still in the background. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Well, what's with this and this is what's happening. And it's calm. It's a calm voice. The answer is going to be calm. It's always calm. It's always peaceful. It's always to your benefit and your favor. Always. So this looping in the head, when you're trying to figure out stuff in your head, you're in your head. You're not going to get anything in your head. This is always in heart, body, space. It's always, always heart, body, space. Ascension symptoms. Dare I touch on that really quick? Yesterday I woke up in the morning with this pain going, and it's always up the back, like the back of my neck into my head. And it's like this pressure thing. What this means, I'm just giving you the dawn version of this. So if any of you know something better or different than this, this is just my version from my own experience. Because of the energy that's being dispensed and everything that I've talked about here surrounding people being triggered and debris showing up in this cringe energy and this sort of wave of stuff, you, as an empath, a highly sensitive person, and a light worker, are always on the cutting edge, so to speak. Like, you're always like kind of one step ahead of, and it's called the first wave. Tina Hammond talks about the first wave a lot. I had her on the show last week. Where you are ahead of this thing, because in a sense, we are energetically and spiritually guiding people along in this love and light shift. And as a result of that, you're going to be experiencing these light, these downloads of light, these impartations of shiftings of light, of love. And the more that we become infused with this, and the more that we become attuned to this, our physical body is going to have a reaction to it because we're in this physical body. So you're going to feel just maybe you might have a pounding headache out of nowhere. There's no reason for you to have a headache. You're not overthinking. You're not sick. You're not like just out of nowhere. And I know that might sound strange to some listeners. You know, if it continues on, seek medical attention. I'm just saying that it's one symptom. Maybe dizziness, it can be a symptom. Waking up feeling like you were hit by a bus. I have woken up where I slept well, but at the same time, I feel like, oh my God, why do I feel like I was hit by a bus? Because you were out traveling somewhere. You're out doing something somewhere, you know, in the travels in your sleep. And you're coming back to this place, this plane, and okay, now we got to get up and do this human gig today. And I'm going to say this again. I know this might sound strange to a lot of people, and I have to say that because I know that people here in the live studio are familiar with this, but there are people that are going to hear this that aren't. And I want to somehow bring this across to newbies so they can digest this, so they can process it in a down-to-earth way, because it's my heart that they can, that people learn this and they can understand who they are so they don't have to be victim to it. People have been victim to their own empathy, victim to their own heart, victim to their own. And then what happens is then they turn into a victim. You know, they go victim mode, you know, sometimes for the rest of their lives. And these are just empaths that never knew they were. So I hope this has made sense. I hope this, I really do. Let me see. Phases of constant protecting your energy. So how do we protect our energy? Well, saying no, the grounding, the stillness, the quiet time. Sometimes, like I'll post in social media at the most twice a day, like I posted this morning. And so after this show, I'm going to post the podcast. But a lot of times sometimes I'm logging in, you know, to going on Facebook or Instagram and it feels okay. And then other times I go in there, I'm like, oh my God. Like I just put my phone down on the bed or the desk. Like I can't deal with this right now because it's just inundated. it's inundated with talking and information and writing, and then there's arguing, and then there's fighting, and there's all different kinds of things that are happening all over the place. If you're sensing this, if you're sensing the ick, if you're feeling like impatient, if you're feeling edgy, go be alone for a while. Breathe deep. Take deep breaths. You know, let the sound out. Drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated. Give yourself a break. Forgive yourself. Go for a walk. Go for a jog. Get in your car. Go get a cup of coffee somewhere, or a cup of hot tea if you don't drink coffee. Just chill out. Take a short nap. Turn everything off and be quiet for 20 minutes. Do things like this to manage your energy, to self-care. We're going to need it. You're going to need it. And it's important because we're needed more than ever. And we have a lot of work to do. We do have a lot of work to do. So on that note, that being said, I love you all. I hope this has made a lot of sense. I hope you got something from this. I hope this was inspiring, and it resonated and it confirmed some things within you. There's no good place to stop. So I'm just going to say, my name is Dawn Schell. You can find me at www.dawnschell.com. You can learn more there about how I coach and counsel clients. Do avail yourself to going to my website and reading about how I coach and counsel clients. And if you feel that this episode would benefit anybody you know, share it with friends, family, coworkers, let them know who I am. If you fall under this category of an empath, or if you know someone that is, or if just in general, if you were someone that you know could use some healing or some coaching in any way, send them my way, because I can do way more beyond this podcast. I can only do so much here. I'm willing to give more, and there are different levels that we can work together. If you're looking for some answers or some guidance right now, I'd love to talk and get to know you better through a complimentary intuitive call. So I'm so glad that you were all here. You're all welcome. Thank you for being here. Have an amazing winter solstice, an amazing rest of your week, and a happy Merry Christmas on Monday. I don't know if I'm going to be here. I'm definitely not going to be here Tuesday. I don't think I'm going to be back next Thursday either, just to take a break. So maybe it will be, we're going to just roll with the changes. I wanted to say, actually, thank you for rolling with the changes between YouTube and this platform. I may just resume in January, definitely not Tuesday, but if I'm here on Thursday, I will reach out to you and let you know I'm coming in to do a show, but I'm not sure. And truly, I my heart goes out to all of you. I love you all. Have an amazing, again, just lit, loved up. Merry Christmas, all you guys, and Frank and Carrie and Kathy and David and everybody. So that being said, I will definitely be back the first Tuesday in January. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it'll be awesome. You'll have to tune in to find out. And just be loved, be blessed, and wishes of lots of love and blessings. And I will talk at you all soon. Take care. Love yous. Bye-bye.
Since you know me, I was a lonely soul, but that's the only. A little wiser now from what you show me. Hey, I feel again.